The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, many people listening will remember October 1988, at the height of the conflict in Northern Ireland, when British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher introduced a broadcast ban. Restrictions meant that the voices of certain people were removed from radio and television, which impacted primarily on the voices of the IRA and Sinn Féin, as well as other paramilitaries from the loyalist side. A loophole, though, was discovered by broadcasters that although they could not actually broadcast the voices of these participants, they could get actors to say the words and broadcast the images of the participants with different voices. Using unseen archive footage and present-day interviews, the ban, directed by Roisin Agnew, reflects on this period in Northern Ireland. The documentary will appear at the Irish Film Institute Documentary Festival this Sunday. And Roisin joins me now in studio. Roisin, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
It seems bizarre, because we had Section 31 here, which was a total ban.
Whereas they
had this other bizarre thing. Was it intended that that would always be the case, or was it something that evolved where the broadcaster saw their opportunity?
It was entirely about the broadcaster seeing their opportunity. I mean, Thatcher and her Home Secretary, Douglas Hurd, when they introduced the broadcasting ban via the Licensing Agreement and the Prevention of Terrorism Act, their idea was that this would kind of create a moral pressure. And she talks about this moral pressure that she'd put on broadcasters to no longer air these voices. And obviously the broadcasters did not feel that moral pressure. In fact, they were very opposed to it. And so they found this loophole, as you said, and this way around it, which meant that they started hiring all these actors to dub these people who weren't allowed on air.
Yeah. Now, in your documentary, which I watched last night, it's extraordinary. It was a heyday for the actors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the kind of joys, I guess, of the film is this sort of camaraderie that existed during this like 6-year period among all of these sort of jobbing actors who maybe like were at the beginning of their careers. They weren't making a lot of money and they all knew each other, and they'd be hanging out in pubs with pagers and they'd have answering machines waiting.
This is before mobile phones,
of course. And then they'd all be running in and out of the BBC Northern Ireland studio in Belfast, dubbing Martin McGuinness, Gerry Adams, Danny Morrison.
We'll have a clip of Gerry Adams sounding a little different to the way we might expect Gerry Adams to sound.
Well, a lot of people thought it was a great improvement, you know, on my monotone. People would bring it to your attention that there was a particularly funny, you know, or somebody, you know, somebody with a squeaky voice, or clearly not me for those who may have known me.
Well, it falls upon me to introduce this education course. I'm very pleased to do so. There's been a lot of good work has been put into preparing for all Republican activists.
So there you heard the real Gerry Adams reflecting today on the actors who actually reproduced his voice. And, it doesn't sound like Gerry Adams.
No, not at all. And I mean, you know, one of the intriguing things, obviously, about the ban was this focus on the voice. And so, like, the film does meditate on why the voice becomes this focal point, essentially. And it is because, you know, in politics, and especially the height of a conflict, voice and provenance, accent, all of that is incredibly important. But also, as he says himself, his voice was quite distinctive, mm-hmm. right? And so removing that voice, what did that mean? And was it actually, you know, helpful?
And then, of course, the actors do their best to sound like the people they're representing, be it Martin McGuinness or Gerry Adams. And they're told, you're doing it too well.
No, exactly. So there's a famous sort of case where Stephen Ray did Gerry. And that caused, a huge controversy because he did it too faithfully. The dubbing was too faithful. And from then on, the instruction came from up top that they had to dub badly.
In other words, that they wouldn't be quite in sync with the picture.
Not in sync with the picture, which means also there's a scrambling of meaning, obviously, but also that it sort of takes away from, you know, the charisma, perhaps, if you want.
Now, in the South, we had Section 31, the order under Section 31 of the Broadcasting Act, which prevented RTÉ from broadcasting anyone from Sinn Féin or certainly not the IRA, but even the political wing of the IRA, which was Sinn Féin. And I remember I had a couple of experiences. One, I was interviewing a milkman about something that had happened to him, and he was sounding very political. And I said, by the way, are you a member of any political party? He said, I'm a member of Sinn Féin. I said, sorry, I have to, under Section 31, I have to stop there. No matter, even though we're talking about milk deliveries. And
I know this episode, we actually looked at it again while we were researching for the film.
Yeah, and there was another one where I was interviewing a guy and he was talking about sexually transmitted diseases. And he admitted that he was a member of Sinn Féin, and we maybe happily drew the conversation to a close. So that's the reality at the time. It was Michael D. Higgins, we were talking about him earlier in the programme, who then abandoned the ruling under Section 31. So it went on, the ban on broadcast television in Britain went on for how long?
It started in 88 and it ended in 94, and it was part of basically one of the things that was negotiated as part of the IRA ceasefire that came in 94 by John Major. At that point, it was seen as basically so entirely farcical that even unionist groups were saying, please get rid of the ban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mind you, the loyalist groups would have been subject to the same ban. It wasn't just Republicans.
They would. But the difference in this case, and why we sort of focus on, I suppose, Sinn Féin, is very simply that at the time they had elected MPs, and they were the ones with elected MPs. And there's a difference. Once you are elected by your people, and that then these people's voices aren't allowed on the airwaves. That's different.
Now, the documentary will be seen at the Irish Film Institute Documentary Festival this Sunday. Will it have an airing on television?
Yes, we're in negotiations at the moment. I can't really say any more. But yeah, it's definitely going to be actually broadcast next year.
All right. So we won't preempt the outcome of those negotiations. But Roisin Agnew, Irish-Italian filmmaker, I'm told you are.
Yeah.
The Italian bit?
I'm born and raised there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But my dad is from outside Derry, my mum's from Dublin.
I was trying to parse the accent and I couldn't quite do it. So there you are. Roisin Agnew, thank you very much for joining us.
Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.